Tomlin.
Hey guys, this is Dennis Koenig.
Hey, this is Rashad Evans.
This is David Salvin.
Hey everybody, this is Joe L. Tier 2 Dirksen.
Hey guys, this is Jason Yancey McDonald.
Hey everybody, you are listening to the world's most handsome fighter on the planet. Yes, this is Al Wapo, and you are listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mowat.
It is Full Contact Fighter Radio time once again. I'm your host, Kelsey Mowat. And joining me now, as always, is Brendan Lear. Brendan, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Kelsey. Thank you.
I think, actually, every intro to the show has probably been identical. I probably say the exact same words, exact same two sentences every time.
We've got to mix it up a bit.
Yeah. That could be a project for someone out there if they wanted to. You can always download all the other shows and compare the opening two sentences of
you get a free You get a free Full Contact Fighter t-shirt if you script the first 4 minutes of our show for us.
Right.
Every show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Let's not give false hope. But
come on, Kels.
Yeah. Brendan, we got a busy show today. It's going to be an interesting show. We've got Rob McDonald. He's going to come on and talk to us about his upcoming fight at UFC 62, taking on Eric Schaefer, a Canadian fighter from Team Tompkins, has been training with Shaw Franco, which is a great Toronto school as well. Antonio Carvello has made some headlines. He's out of that camp in the last year or so. He defeated Rumen Acedo, the legendary 145-pound Japanese fighter. But they've also got Justin Bruckman in that camp, I believe, still, and Richard Nankoo. He's going to be interesting to talk to, and we'll see how he's been doing. And then as well, we're going to be talking to Gokhar Shivichian, the legendary Sambo judo instructor, Armenian judo instructor. He contacted Full Contact Fighter after hearing the show with Carol Prezin, who we had on a couple weeks ago, and we wanted to give Gokhar, obviously, a chance to respond. That's what we have to do. So it should be interesting as well.
He's a living legend in MMA and combative sports, period, and all sorts of any grappling sports. So
yeah,
it'd be wonderful to have him on.
So he's going to be on and talking. It's pretty obvious to me what he's going to want to talk about. He's going to want to talk about some of the things that Carol Prezin said. So we're going to afford him that opportunity. So it should be an interesting show.
Pitter patter. Let's get at her.
Okay. Sounds good. You're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio. Have you subscribed to Full Contact Fighter? FCF is the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world, and no avid MMA fan should ever miss an issue. For years now, FCF has been providing MMA enthusiasts in-depth coverage of the world's greatest sport. Each issue contains event reports and photos from across the globe, including coverage from Japan, Brazil, Britain, Canada, and the United States. From fighter bios, technical advice, to training tips, FCF is the only publication that brings you all the MMA coverage you need every month, 12 times a year. Check out www.fcfighter.com for subscription information or call 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world.
Mixed martial arts legends collide at the Midwestern debut of the International Fight League, Saturday, September 23rd at the Mark of the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois. See the wildest International Fight League team competition yet as the Quad City Silverbacks defend their home turf against the New York Pitbulls. And be there to witness the return of hometown hero Pat Miletich as he squares off in a fight to the finish against jiu-jitsu master Henzo Gracie. 11 total fights, including Quad City taking on New York and the San Jose Razor Claws, led by Frank Shamrock, battling the Toronto Dragons, coached by Carlos Newton. Plus, the historic super match of Miletich versus Gracie. It all happens Saturday, September 23rd at the Mark of the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois. Tickets start at $28.50 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Or charge by phone at 563-326-1111. That's 563-326-1111. The International Fight League. Pure sport. For more information, go to IFL.TV. Cards subject to change.
Joining us now on Full Contact Fighter Radio is Rob McDonald. Rob, how are you doing today?
Doing real good. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for coming on. I know it's a busy week for you and only a couple days away here from your UFC fight this weekend, Saturday night, taking on Eric Schaefer. Rob, what do you know about Eric Schaefer? Have you been able to see some tape on him at all, or have you been able to get a sense of what you expect him to try to do against you?
You know what, it's funny, I don't really watch tape on opponents just because I find, for myself, I just want to go in and fight the best fight I can fight and do what I want to do. Sometimes when you watch tape on guys, I think you get too focused on what they can do. That being said, he's got a record of 8-1. This is his UFC debut, but, I mean, he's beat some pretty game opponents, so he's a guy to watch out for and a guy got to take seriously.
So, Rob, following along your comments, so do you have a game plan when you go in, whether you'd rather keep it on your feet or take it to the ground? Right now, in your training, where are you more comfortable as an MMA athlete?
You know what? I'm more comfortable using my wrestling, and I'm more comfortable on my feet throwing punches. But for the past 3 months, I've been focused heavily on my ground part of my game. I mean, today in an MMA fighter, you have to be good at everything. So, you know, I want to be prepared to take the fight anywhere it needs to go. You know, I can sit here and tell you guys I want to do stand-up. But if I get taken on the ground, I got to be good there too. So I just want to go out and fight the best fight I can. And I've trained hard in every facet of the game for it.
Now, Rob, of course, most people know that you have done extensive training with Team Tompkins, a team well-renowned for its stand-up capabilities, and you've got the wrestling background. And then, I don't know if everyone knows this, but recently you've also begun training with Shaw Franco, which is a famous school in Toronto, great jiu-jitsu programs, a couple black belts there. I would guess then that that's probably done a lot for your jiu-jitsu game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Shaw Franco, it's under Silvio Behring, and he's a really well-respected name in jiu-jitsu. But there's a lot of black belts up there. There's Antonio Carvalho, there's Richie Nanku, there's Warren. I mean, there's a lot of brown belts floating in and out. We get black belts up from Brazil. I mean, I think it's the premier place to learn jits in Canada.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm pretty lucky as an athlete that I get to go to both places. I mean, Sean is the best stand-up coach as far as I'm concerned in the world. I mean, he's produced some of the best stand-up guys in the game. And, you know, when some of the heavy hitters in MMA need help on their stand-up, they call Sean. I get to train there. On the other hand, I also get to train with Shaw Franco, is where it's at for jits. I mean, I couldn't be in a better situation.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you are still a Toronto City policeman, are you not?
That's correct.
So one of the questions I have to you is that Kelsey and I have talked about this a little bit in terms of the status of the sport and up-and-coming young fighters. So if you win this next fight in the UFC, where does that place you in relation to pursuing your career? And what does the force itself and the administration of the force and your fellow officers, what do they think about you pursuing an MMA career?
Well, you know, it's funny. I used to work for another police force in Mississauga, just outside Toronto. They had a lot of problems with me fighting, but Toronto police actually are the most supportive organization I've ever come across. I mean, they're pro fighting. You know, as long as I represent the force in a respectable manner, which is important to them, and it's important to me as an individual as well. Sorry, I mean, they're super happy with it. They're behind me the whole way. You know, I think a lot of my fellow officers are very proud of what I do. So that means a lot to me, you know, every time I step into the ring and, you know, just being at work, because it's a very demanding job that they look after me when they can, you know, which is great.
Working in Toronto, Rob, I mean, maybe you can give us your take on this. Excuse me. Talking to Carlos Newton a couple weeks ago, doing a story for the FCF paper about the Toronto Dragons, the new IFL team. And some people don't realize that, especially maybe some of our American listeners don't know, that MMA is not actually sanctioned in the province of Ontario where Toronto is. Rob, do you get a sense of where is the sport in Toronto and Ontario? Is it getting more accepted? Do you have any insight into for us about the, you know, chances of it maybe being sanctioned at some point in Ontario?
Yeah, I think you'll see it sanctioned within the next couple of years for sure. I mean, MMA is accepted in Ontario in terms of the majority of the population. There's a lot of really, really good MMA schools that are popping up in Ontario. There's a lot of great fighters that are coming out of Ontario. There's just the boxing commission up there right now and the regulatory bodies. They're blocking it right now, but I think that just has to do with one individual in particular. And, you know, a couple of people associated with him. So once the changing of the guard happens, I think MMA will be open for business in Toronto.
Doesn't there have to be some kind of legislation repealed as well? Don't they have some kind of antiquated turn of the century legislation concerning rear choking or something like that in there?
You know, I'm not 100% sure on that. I was, from what I know, I understood the problem was that, you know, the boxing commission is the one who grants the, you know, the capability of fighting MMA. Just like in Nevada, the boxing commission takes care of it. And that they were blocking it for whatever reason. You know, I imagine once that is lifted, then everything else will fall into place. If there is some antiquated law, I don't think that's too hard to change.
Yeah, I believe, and I could be wrong, but having delved into this a little bit in the past, I think it has to do with certain members of the Boxing Commission and Ontario athletic bodies, governing bodies, essentially not wanting to expand beyond Muay Thai or boxing rules. So, you know, basically maintaining publicly that they think to allow other maneuvers, other techniques would be, you know, would be a safety risk, etc. So,
well, exactly, and I don't think they can really say it's a safety risk. I mean, without getting too much into it, because I don't know a lot about it. I mean, you can't tell me that MMA is any more dangerous than even football or hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you get a lot of superficial wounds. You get scarring. You know, you get bruised up. But I mean, in terms of you know, actual serious injuries, I think MMA is actually a fairly safe sport.
Looking back at your last fight and a submission win over Christian Rothermel, you know, a lot of people, I think, they knew about your background on Team Tompkins and the fact that you trained there. And I think, you know, for some of us up in Canada or seen you fight prior, there was a good sense of your wrestling background. But I think that fight maybe really highlighted the fact that you have some pretty great wrestling skills and you're able to demonstrate that as well as the submissions at the end. Was that your plan all the way going into that fight against Rothermel? Were you, you know, planning on taking it down? And is that where you thought you had the clear-cut advantage?
You know what? I actually wanted to stand up against Christian. He's actually pretty accomplished in jiu-jitsu. He's got a brown belt. And actually, my plan was to stand up. But sometimes your game plan doesn't go the way you want it to. I mean, he tried jumping guard right off the opening bell. And, you know, it just turned into a wrestling and jits match, and I won. And the one thing I told everybody at that fight is that was 100% healthy and mentally focused Rob McDonald. I mean, on the show, I wasn't who I was. My fight against Lambert, that was my first fight back after almost a career-ending injury. I wasn't quite 100% healed from that. You know, the June 28th fight was the first time I felt that was actually who I was. You know, you saw me at 100%, and, you know, that's what you're going to see from now on.
Well, could you describe briefly, it was ironic on the show that something had to happen so dramatic to, in a sense, vindicate you, because you had been made out, I don't know if it was a realistic portrayal or through editing, that you were kind of slacking off or you didn't want to train that hard. But describe exactly what the injury was and exactly what they had to do to repair it and how long the recovery took.
Okay, I had a torn bicep tendon. The bicep ripped out of the shoulder and rolled up into my elbow, taking all the muscle with it. I had the torn tendon. I had a torn labrum. And then I had damage to my rotator cuff. So what they did is they drilled two holes through my arm bone, and they weaved the tendon and the muscle back up and fixed that surgically. And then what they did is the labrum couldn't be repaired. What that is it adds stability to your shoulder to prevent dislocation. They had to remove a good chunk of that, and the rotator cuff was just a couple of stitches. I mean, that was an incidental injury, but very, very serious. At one point it was thought it might be career-ending. That it could take anywhere from 6 months to a year before I could even start training again if it did go that far. But, you know, luckily I, found a great rehab clinic in Toronto. It's, Mind to Muscle Clinic. They're run by a guy, Dave Wright. He does a lot of work with, NHL athletes, really high level guys. And, my rehab got right on track and my body managed to bounce back. So, I mean, it was a very, very serious injury. There was a point after that I didn't know if I'd ever fight again.
Now, Sean Tompkins really rallied to your defense after, you know, after the way you were portrayed on the show and then the fact that you had such a serious injury. You submitted letters to different media outlets, kind of rallying the cause for yourself. Rob, where does that kind of stand as far as, you know, this could be, like Brendan mentioned, maybe it was partially due to the way of the editing and the process that they undergo for that, but they made it seem like, you know, Matt Hughes kind of, you know, was picking on you a little bit, and I wasn't there, so that could be just an editing process, but where does that stuff stand with your camp and Matt Hughes? You know, Sean, that letter was fairly critical of Matt. Where does that all stand? Have you guys had a chance to talk to him? Have you ran into him again? Or was that just not an accurate portrayal at all as far as the show goes?
Well, you know, first off, as far as my portrayal on the show goes, I mean, we signed a pretty pretty strict confidentiality agreement about what I can and can't say about the show. I can't really comment about the editing. I can't really say that they, you know, I can't really say that I was edited unfairly. I can't say any of that. What I will tell you, pardon?
Can we say that?
If you want to say it, you can say it all you want. I'm not going to stop you, but I can't say it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the thing is what I've told everybody is anyone who knows who I really am or what I'm really about knows the real Rob McDonald. You know, so we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
As far as, you know, Sean coming to my defense, not only is Sean the best trainer in the world, I mean, he's one of my best friends. He's always been there for me 100%. Like, through the biggest highs in my career and the biggest lows, he's the one guy that's always been there and been behind me 100%, you know. And, I mean, of course he's going to come to my defense. And, you know, I really appreciate it and love the guy for it. You know, and just like if someone attacks Team Tompkins, I'll come to their defense 100% as well. As far as the Matt Hughes situation goes, you know, I have no hard feelings. I see Matt Hughes at a lot of the events, and it's like, hey, Matt, how are you? And, you know, he said some nice things about me. Unfortunately, they weren't shown on TV, and, you know, but I think Matt Hughes is a stand-up guy, and he calls it like he sees it, and, you know, I have no issues with him whatsoever.
Okay.
Rob, I wanted to know personally, I was in Toronto, I spent a little bit of time there earlier on in the summer, and this was right after the World Cup. Is it true that the Italian population in Toronto is second only to Rome? Toronto is
yeah.
The second largest Italian city in the world.
That is true. There's a huge Italian population in there, but it's not only Italians. What people don't realize about Toronto, Toronto's one of the most culturally diverse cities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 100 different languages spoken there. And if you want to look at, like, the minority population, it's 45% minority, I think, right now.
Wow.
So what was that like policing the World Italian World Cup victory?
You know what? It was wild. There was literally tens of thousands of Italians in the streets. You know, it shut down traffic, it shut down Toronto, but you know, it was a very friendly celebration. I mean, sometimes you see things, I think you saw it when the Chicago Bulls won the World Series, when they won the NBA title a couple of years ago, people overturning cars and looting and stuff like that. There was none of that. It was a very peaceful celebration. So it was good to see and great for the city.
Segueing a little bit into that as while we're talking about Canada, Rob, the first time I saw you fight was at the Maximum Fighting Championships in Edmonton. It was 2002. You were taking on Victor Valimaki, which you won by TKO. I believe, actually, Brendan, you were there, weren't you? I think you were.
Yes, we were there.
You know, looking back, obviously the last couple of years, it's been quite clear about the explosion of MMA in the United States, but maybe comment on where the sport has gone, you know, since the 2001, 2002 time when you started fighting in Canada.
You know, to put it in perspective, it's funny. In 2001, 2002, when I was doing MMA, and I'm sure it was the same all over the world, people would say, "You what? You fight in a cage?" Like, they couldn't believe what we were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one understood the sport. They didn't understand the rules. People thought it was pretty savage and everything. Now, and especially since the UFC has come on TV with the Ultimate Fighter series, everybody knows fighters. And it's great. I mean, in Canada, a lot of these events have popped up. TKO is a world-level organization. I mean, you've seen David Lozo come out of there, George St. Pierre come out of there, Mark Hominick, Sammy Stout. So many good fighters coming out of Canada, out of the MMA scene. I mean, it's just a hotbed up there. And, you know, it's good to see the sport grow.
Yeah. Brendan, you have anything else for Rob?
Yeah, Rob, I have one more question for you. We were actually talking to your training partner Mark Hominick, and I asked him if it was nice to get in there and be able to deliver some deadly leg kicks to a police officer. And I'll ask you this question: as a police officer, who someone on a day-to-day basis has to use some kind of modicum of restraint, is it nice to get in there and release your frustrations on these sort of rub-a-dubs that you train with?
You know what? It's funny. Like, a lot of people, I guess, use training as a form of releasing frustration. To me, training's just fun. You know, like, I always tell people UFC for me is an extreme hobby.
Yeah.
You know, I don't look at it as a career path. I don't look at it as the end-all and be-all. The end-all and be-all of my life is being a police officer. And, you know, training's just something. It's like everyone goes out and plays golf. I go out and fight. I just love fighting, and it's just fun. You know, and it is great. Like, and working with guys like Mark Hominick and Sammy Stout, Sean Tompkins, my wrestling trainer John Minen, working with people like this. I mean, I have a great time with these guys. They're my best friends. There's nothing I'd rather do than go train with them. You know, and look what it brings to your life. I mean, right now I'm in Las Vegas, staying in a 5-star hotel and resort, treated like a celebrity. I mean, it's the best life in the world.
Oh, I mean, we know what that's like being MMA media, right, Brendan?
We're, you know, 5-star. Kelsey and I are usually in, you don't hear about 6- and 7-star hotels because they don't let ordinary people in there. But, yeah, that's where
we're No, that's right, just the MMA media.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Rob, we hope you have some fun in the Octagon Saturday night against Eric Schaefer. We appreciate you coming on the show, and best of luck at UFC 62.
I will. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck to you, Rob.
Thank you.
You don't have to be a champion to dress like one. With a Full Contact Fighter shop, we have all the MMA gear that you see so many of your favorite professional fighters wearing. NHB Extreme Fight shorts, camouflage board shorts, corduroy and camo hats, hooded sweatshirts, to the classic FCF t-shirts, Full Contact Fighter clothing is the number one mixed martial arts brand that any MMA fan must have. Now open is the FCF sticker and banner shop. We have all your favorite IFL team clothing, plus a great assortment of low-priced Pride and MMA DVDs are now all available at the FCF shop. To check it out, head to www.fcfighter.com, pick up the latest edition of the FCF paper, or call 516-676-0033. That number, again, 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred new source of the world.
Hey, it's Mark the Machine Hominick, and you're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mullen.
Welcome back to Full Contact Fighter Radio, and joining us now is the legendary Gokor Shivichian. Gokor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
The reason, Gokor, you wanted to come on the show and we wanted to give you a chance to speak is, as some of our listeners will know, Carol Parisian was on the show, I guess, couple weeks ago now, and he made some comments about the split from Hayastan Academy and made some comments about yourself that you wanted to respond to. So, Gokor, we'll just let you go first. You listened to the interview, I know that. What were your thoughts on some of the things Carol said about your guys' split in your business relationship?
Yes, yes, I basically hear that and makes me upset. It's very difficult. I don't know from where to start it to where to finish it. But basically, I'm going to just take it a little bit of time and just make it possible, as short as possible, to explain a couple things.
Take your time, Gokor. Take your time.
Yes. Carlo, he started training with me when he was a kid. He's an 8-year-old kid. I still have his pictures in my wall and everything. Basically, he was a very nice kid. And his father was very friendly, and they come to my place. Well, they never trained anything before, and they were, like I say, he's an 8-year-old kid. And I grew him up like another father, you know, just, but he always have the character. He thinks he's very pretty, and he's the best. And even he's not. And he always thought he's the best. And it always not bothered me because he was too younger for me. But he bothers all his friends, a lot of other guys. And they kind of, he's like kind of a character like a cocky guy, you know. When even he was a kid, I didn't really see that too much. But when he started growing up and people start seeing this. But he's a kid, he did some mistakes, and as an adult and as his teacher, I forgive him a lot of things and a lot of small things. And then comes up position, like he mentioned, about 14 years old. I make that fight for him because he really want to fight. He wants to go, and he wants to fight, and he wants to make name and things like that. I told him, I say, you're too young, and I don't think so it's a good time to fight it. Oh, he said he wants to do it. He has every feelings like he's going to do good and everything. So, make it shorter. So, because his father also, he wants it so much to do this. And I talked to a couple of my friends over there in Mexico, and we took Cara to fight. Basically, he fought one Mexican guy, and he did very well. He did very well. Actually, they gave the match to the other guy, and it was not 4,000 people over there. He just making a little bigger. It just maybe 200-300 people was watching, sitting. And he lost the match that day, but to be honest with you, he beat the guy. He beat the guy. And but they give it to other guy because they too proud of the Mexican champion to win. But Carlos did a good job, good fight, you know, as a 14 years old kid. So many other things of his tournaments. He fought a lot of judo. He won the nationals and the kids is the junior national at a few time, and he did a good job. And we always support him. The support is always been there 100%. Without asking any money, without asking anything. And besides asking any money, I was supporting him, his food, his room, he's staying with me, his father sometimes cannot come. His father is supporting him so good too, you know, I cannot take the away from him. And most of the time, I did what every good teacher can do for his students. I come up to positions like this at many of the tournaments. Of many of win or lose matches he has. He always been a very, very good student, always. But coming to the character, like I say, he was always different from everybody else because you can give him a world and you can make him happy only 1 minute and the next minute he's very upset because you didn't give him a car. You know, he's that kind of character. But I always know that, but I just act not only a teacher, just act like a father for him and just do a lot of things for him to make things go, make bigger things smaller and the smaller things forgive then go away. So this is just a little bit of the background and our relationship. Now, what happened between Carl and me, and basically nothing happened. When I put him in the UFC to fight, I talked to the Joe Silva, and Joe, he told me, Goku, you have a lot of respect to a lot of people here, and we take your word and put Carl in. And I tell you, well, not only take my word, and look at Carl's wins, you know, he did a lot of fights, and he did good. He's doing good. And he said, well, anybody he fights, we don't see any famous fighter yet, but we're taking your word and taking him. He said, don't be a mother, just we're taking your word. I said, okay, well, thank you so much, but I'm sure Carl will be doing very good and make all of you guys very happy. And I put Carl there, the first fight, he fought, and he did very beautiful submission. He make everybody amazed at what he did. He brought a lot of judo inside, and he brought a lot of grappling. The people don't understand too much of what I teach. My background is basically I train wrestling, judo, sambo, and I did some jiu-jitsu. When I come to this country in 1981, and I make lots of tournaments here in Japan. I fought shooto fights. I fought judo. I fought sambo. I fought many different things. But that time was not very much popular in the United States. It was little popular in Japan, but it was not as big as much as today. And I'm not a guy to come and sit down with my student and tell what I did before and what I tell the stories about myself, and I'm not that type of person. Many of the students, mine, they come with me sometime my seminars, and they're amazed. They're telling me, they're training with me 5 years, but they don't know anything about this. And I have 8,000 students in Europe and 27 schools on affiliate with me in the United States. And I teach every year, and every year I fly 2 times and stay month and a half and teach. I teach completely all the LAPD, FBI, sheriff departments, Europol, everywhere in the world. And I go, but my students, just know about me, just little of what I do. I teach here, and then I go to give seminar, and they don't know anything else. I kind of surprised a few of my students come first time with me and see thousands of people wearing a T-shirt, thousands of people wants to take a picture, thousands of people wants to get my autograph and stuff. And he tells me, Gokor, 6 years I'm training with you, I don't know anything about this. Anyway, I don't really want to talk about right now myself. The reason I'm talking about me and Carlos' relationship, what happened. So when after he get the UFC first win, and then he start talking to everybody like, you are shit and you don't know nothing and you are zero and I'm the man here and this dojo, nobody can get close to me and stuff. Then my students start not liking him. He comes alone and nobody want to train with him anymore because he's so cocky and he just push everybody. And then he comes and tells me, he said, Goku, nobody want to fight with me. Everybody's scared from me. Basically, he doesn't understand, and they're not scared from him. They don't like him. They don't want to train with him because of the attitude he has. I'm trying to tell you the true everything without telling any lie or any small things change. Everything that I say, I'm telling you from my heart and my memory as much as I can hear, I can remember.
Well, was the final split, Gokor, then based on financial issues as well? I think Carol refused to that.
The financial issue, this is what happened. He started bringing a lot of people to the dojo and give them a private lesson. One time, two time, three time, four time. I didn't say nothing to him. But he started bringing more people. And then I pulled the Carol on the side. I tell Carol, I say, Carol, this is my business. I love you as a son. But this is my business. If you want to make money, you have to help at the school, too. You know, you have to pay $25 each time you bring student here to teach. I don't tell you don't bring it because it's good because it's helping you, too. And I'm happy you're making money. But pay $25 to the school. And this way, I will be, it's not the $25. The $25 is not going to make me rich or poor. But the $25, it's a responsibility I want from him. So I can see his heart is with us. And $25 is nothing. But I told him to. Just because of $25, he make a big deal. Even yesterday I talked to him. He still brings that $25 up. Oh, do you remember you telling me $25 you have to pay me? You know, I say, Carl, I'm telling you, and I'm telling you now, too. I'm telling other students, too. None of them get upset. Everybody's happy to pay because I pay $5,000-$6,000 bill every month. Carl, you don't know about this. You have the key. You can open a dojo anytime you want. You train as much as you want. I told him many times, you need my help, even I'm busy. I will come and help you. And out of that, he just complained about the $25 because I asked him to pay. And that's my business, and I think I have right to ask that.
So have spoken to him recently then, obviously.
I talked to him yesterday. I was so angry to him, and he started bringing me up all the things before and this and that. The reason why I did that because you tell me in Armenia. Okay, this is what happened, why he started talking like that about me. In Armenia, I advertise him so much because I go teach over there. I advertise him so much. And the people, they don't know who's Carl. Now the Carl is like a god over there just because of me. They respect me. They know who I am. And my word is very strong. Do I say somebody's good, then they trust it. And I take a couple of his fights and put him on a... I pay... And over there on the television studios to show Carl. Some point to advertise myself to my school and let the Armenian people be proud that there's some Armenian fellow and they come to America and make this possibility for Armenia, the Armenian people. And they look at, this is Carl Parisian and he is the hero of this school. And this is all my attention. And my attention, it was 100% clear and 100% good. And I always love Carl. You know, I just want to be honest with you. He always tell me, you don't love me. You love Monville, Manny. You love other people. You don't love me. And I said, Carl, I said, it's a childish talking. I love you, but you talk shit about other people. That's why I don't like it. And I'm telling you, don't talk bad other people. Then you're thinking I'm just protecting other people. But I'm not protecting. I just don't want to hear talking the shit for other people. That's not a good thing. Because you talk about bad things about someone, then you will talk about bad things about me too. And I'm your teacher, and I will never, ever respect that. Oh, no, I love you. I never talk bad about you and this and that. And his father is always calm and said, oh, you know what? Kyle will kill himself for you, Gokur. When somebody talks bad about you, that he's ready to kill him. This is what his father tells me many, many times. I tell him, I say, you don't have to kill yourself, you know. Nobody will talk about me anything bad. I don't hurt anybody's feeling ever in my life. I have thousands of friends, and a lot of people talk bad about me. They don't really know who I am.
Well, Gokur, we should get to like final split because we do have like time limits on the radio show, and I know that people and yourself you want to probably discuss, you know, when did you guys actually finally split up your relationship and because of the financial issue then?
Yeah. Anyway, so financially, it's like I say, it started with that $25, and then comes up to USC, and then his father comes up. He tells me, he said, Gokur, what you thinking about Carl? What should I do? I say, I'm not a good manager for him. I can be a good teacher for him. But if you don't want to spend the money outside too much, and I'll do my best, whatever I can do for him, and you can give me 10% for teaching him because I don't charge him nothing, and I completely give my dojo to him, and 10% to manage him, and 20%. His father say, I said, do you want to make a contract? We can make a contract. And his father words, exactly, Gokur, between you and me, there's no contract. My word is like 100%. I said, okay. And I didn't make no contract, nothing, because I don't have no problem. And then he come a couple times and he tell me, Gokur, you know, Carter don't have no shoes and we don't have no money. And all this money going to go to the doctors and this and that. Can I pay you next time? I say, Jack, no problem. I swear to God, I have two kids, and I swear on my kids, I'm telling you 100% exactly what happened. Couple time he come and he tell me he's basically don't have no money, and he's not going to be able to pay me. And I told him that's okay, but when we go to Las Vegas, his father and come and tell me, oh, I lost the $3,000, I lost the $4,000. And I, inside me, feel bad because he doesn't have no money to pay me because what I do for his kid. But he come, go to the gambling and he's losing that money. And he's coming and telling me, it looks like it makes me feel even more worse. Finally, one day, he bring me and pay me $1,000 check. And it's supposed to be $1,300, but he said, you know, I don't have too much. Can I pay you just $1,000? I cannot pay you $300. I said, that's okay. I told him, too. I said, if you need more than I do, you can keep that money, too. He said, no, I'll keep it. No, I'll give it to you. And then end up with another things of Carl start wearing a different type of T-shirts. And I told Carl, I said, Carl, why are you not wearing our school T-shirt? You know, you grew up this school. You know, you should have to tie this school. No, I make money from other people, then pay me money, and that's why I'm putting this T-shirt. So I said, okay, well, as long as you make money, that's okay. Don't advertise my school, but you just make money. I swear to God, I don't even ask nothing from him. And basically, what happened is, he started keeping a lot of secrets from me, and he's dealing with other people, and he's looking to train with other people. Every time somebody gets a little famous, or Carl's there, he wants to be his student. And every time he wants to change, every time. You know, he's with right now he's with Randy Couture. Mm-hmm. After Randy Couture knows exactly who's Carl, he's going to go, and he's going to go somewhere else too. The longest they know Carl, nobody will help him. That's the character he has. And I hear a lot of people that talk about Carl. talk about a lot of bad things about him. But I tell them, I shut everybody's mouth, and I tell them, you don't know him too good. That's why you guys talking bad. But in, when I go back,
I was gonna ask you a question, Golkar, and that is, it seems like when your relationship transitioned into more of a business relationship with you being Carlos' manager, that brought that brought sort of ill tidings into it. But you have a relationship with Carlos since you've been training him for so long. That's a very traditional relationship between a sensei and a student in martial arts.
He stopped respecting everybody else, and little by little it get to me, you know. And he was respecting me so much, and I'm the only one he comes and talks about shit about everybody else. And then I told him all the time, I said, don't talk shit about anybody else. If you have something to say, go to talk to the people face, you know. And then I know already this is coming to me, because I already know the way he talks and everything. Anyway, so the money situation is basically, one day we make a move. I got a movie job to do it. This is the most important part of I want to tell you, so people know what kind of person is Carl. The guy called me for the movie, and he offered me the money and everything, and this much. And he said, Coco, get the two people with you. So I got 500 students. I choose Carlo and Manville, because I want them to make money. I choose them. And then Carlo asked me, who called you? I said, well, there's a friend of mine, Mike Smith, and his friend, too. He knows it. Well, why he didn't call me? I said, well, talk to Mike. You know, I don't know. He called me. Oh, I'm going to call him and tell him this and that. You know, you should call me. I'm a Carl. I'm a big famous man, and I'm a big guy now. You know, you should call me. And then I said, Carl, you go and talk to him. So he called the guy and everything. Whatever has happened, the guy called me and told me that he's going to give me the date and the map to Carl, and I can show up in the movie. Carl never gave me anything. And passed over 2-3 weeks. And when I talked to this guy, he said, oh, Coco, I give a Carl on a date and a map, and you didn't come. I said, listen, Carl never give me anything. Well, he said, he talked to you, you said you don't want to come, that's why he didn't give it to you. I said, that never happened. Carl never give me anything. Just wants to take my place and get his money. And he's calling me in the radio, he's calling me, I'm a con artist. Anyway, I'm just doing my business, and doing my business very fair. And if I ask $25, it's very fair. If I ask a 10% or 20%, with our conversation with them and agreement together, that's also very fair. But I never get that money anyway. So basically, I never take anything extra from him. And that's only the problem I have with him and none of my students here. He has many problems with everybody here. So this is the problem. What happened, and nobody wants to train with him, and he doesn't want to pay because he thinking about, oh, next one, he's going to make a little bit more money, and why pay Gokor? And just, he's very sad and very upset for any time and any reason, and I ask him, Carl, why are you upset? Oh, you don't know my life, you don't know what is going on with my life, and, you know, and I say, it's not my problem. You know, you come into my dojo, I want to see your face. If you're going to be faced like that, don't come. You know, you make other people feel bad, too. And you talk shit with other people, with the students. He never, ever stand up and teach any student over there is doing wrong. And he's supposed to be one of my good students. He should help the kids. He never, ever help the kids.
Well, Gokor,
I have one last question for you. Obviously, from the sounds of it, you and Carl had a very close, you describe it as a father-son relationship. And obviously, $25 isn't the point. And what do you think is ever going to allow you guys to have a rapprochement together to make this better?
Do together what?
Now, what do you think? What's going to have to happen for you guys to regain some meaning in your relationship again?
No, my relationship will never be fixed up with Carl anymore because he hurt my heart, and I will never ever. I forgive him 99.9%. And this is, and he still, when he fought the last time, I feel so bad because he's completely out of shape, completely out of everything, and he doesn't train, and I can see his body is completely out. When he was training with me, I, you know, be honest with you, I was not really keeping too much attention to him lately because I kind of lit a match for him, to him. But I gave my life to him, and I did things for him his, even his father never done for him. And up to that, he's calling me that all that words in the radio without shaming, and he forgot who I am and everything. And basically, I told him yesterday, I told him, you have to shame. I said, you make a cross when you go in a fight, and you look like a believer in a God. I said, I wish the God will give the punishment, the guy who are doing all the these problems. And I say to him, I say, I hope you change and you become a good man, because you are not at this moment.
Well, Gokar, sorry.
In my heart, it's hurting because of that, because I grow him up, and it looks like I just let like my son go. But I didn't let my son go. It hurt one time, and then second, I hear him, he's talking shit about me, and he's telling I'm nobody. He didn't know who I am. He didn't know. I teach 90% of UFC fighters, and even these fighters are never born, you know? And if you talk to the old UFC fighters, and you will understand who I am, and basically the people come and train with me. And they even offer me, say, Gokar, you should go fight. You should fight. I say, how can I fight? You guys are my students. I'm teaching you. How can I come and fight you guys? You know? And I'm happy, you know?
Well, Gokar, we are really out of time here. We're almost at a half an hour, and I know it's an extremely emotional situation, and and you are a legend to the sport, and we wanted to give you a chance to come on and respond. So
I want to tell you one more thing.
Okay.
I wishing you guys big business and big life, and you're doing a good job. And I also, besides everything, as my class, I wish Kyle the best luck in his life. And forever, he's gone for me, and forever. This is what I'm going to tell him when he comes to today and see me. I'm going to say, I will never forgive you in my life what you've done in the radio and let other people think I'm that type of person. But I'm not. But anyway, I appreciate so much, and I wish you guys a good luck. I wish Cairo, I wish he can find someone and can train and put him in a good shape as he was shaping with me.
Okay, well, it was our privilege, our pleasure, Gokar. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, take care.
Okay, you guys have a beautiful day or night. I don't know what is there.
Okay. Thanks,
okay,
Gokar.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye-bye. Hey guys, Kelsey Mode here from Full Contact Fighter Radio. Listen, if you have any comments, questions, or just want to flat out tell me off, contact me at radio@fcfighter.com. That address, again, is radio@fcfighter.com.
Any correspondence that is sent to Mr. Mo must be presented in business letter format in an aerial script with a font point no larger than 12 and no smaller than 8. All letters must be written in UK English and must be received by Mr. Mo before no later than 12 hours prior to the posting of this program. Any fiscal donations must be in Canadian currency, and please pay no attention to this previous statement.
All right, Brennan, it is the usual outro banter time where we make our listeners' ears bleed.
I don't know if it's really banter, Kelsey.
Yeah, true enough.
It's more idle speculation and musing.
Yes. Feigned insight. Too pompous.
Feigned insight. I can live with that.
Right. Well, some interesting comments from Gokar Shivichian and Rob McDonald. Thanks to both of them for coming on the show. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time because we've got tons of stuff going on this weekend, and I would have liked to have done another show this week, but unfortunately I've got some obligations that I have to take care of this week, so I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be watching I'm going to watch the UFC probably in a pub in southern Alberta, which I don't know if I'm looking forward to, but...
In southern Alberta, anywhere in
Calgary,
particular?
Calgary, probably.
Calgary.
If everything works out, I'll be able to see it, hopefully. And then it sucks for Canadian fans because we're not going to be able to see the Pride show.
Well...
Which I've whined about prior.
It's
going to
suck for you, because you're probably going to get shanked watching the UFC with
a bunch of cowboys.
Cowboys?
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
Good luck to you, Kels.
What's that?
Good luck to you.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
I'll be watching it from the comfort of my own beanbag chair in my basement.
Yeah, well, I always find it entertaining to watch those, sometimes to watch the cards in certain environments. Depending on the knowledge of the crowd, it can be an it can be an interesting and fun experience. It can also be a horrifying and very annoying experience. So Let's hope that the crowd, if I wind up watching it at this pub, is knows a little bit about MMA and that it goes off without a hitch.
I find that most men in Calgary are actually deeply receptive to watching two half-naked men sprawled out on top of one another.
Not going to touch that one, Brendan. Comments can be sent to radio at fcfighter.com. Don't address them to Kelsey. That's Brendan for anyone who lives in Calgary. Not going to touch that one. Let's move on, though. Like I said, we've got a ton to talk about. Let's get into the UFC card first, because that's Saturday night. I don't even know if we'll go over every fight, but, you know, this card, I'd have to say, is not, you know, and no offense to some of the fighters on the other card, but it doesn't feature a lot of well-known matchups, but I guess that's just something that we're all going to have to get accustomed to, because there's so many cards now, and you've got the things like the Ultimate Fight Night, you know, where a couple of years ago, Carol Parisi and Diego Sanchez might be a third, you know, fight on a card, and now it's a headliner, and it was a damn great fight, but... So I'm not going to necessarily go through all the fights here, but first off, I wanted to talk about obviously Rob McDonald versus Eric Schaefer. Brendan, who are you picking this fight? I got to admit again here, I don't know a lot about Eric Schaefer.
I know nothing about Schaefer actually, and embarrassingly, I don't know anything about the people he's fought. I think this might be hopefully. I think McDonald will be game, so I think the fight will certainly be dynamic. But it'll be interesting to see to see Schaefer and to see if they can finally get some heavyweights that are interesting to look at. You know,
because, well, light heavyweights.
Are they fighting down?
Yeah, okay, McDonald's gonna be a light heavyweight. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna make a prediction because I really don't want to. Talk out of my ass, as it were. So, some news coming out the last couple of days. Josh Neer was supposed to fight Thiago Alves, and it looks like Alves is dropped out due to injury. A couple sites have reported. I don't know if I've actually seen a UFC confirmation on that yet, but and they're also reporting that Nick Diaz is going to be his replacement. So, if that's true, and hopefully it is, that's going to be a great fight.
Now we've got a card.
Yeah, that's going to be a great fight. Who are you picking between Josh Neer and Nick Diaz?
Oh, that's going to be a tough, again, that's a tough pick, but now that I'm back to my dispassionate form of picking, I think I'll have to go, although I like Nick Diaz, and he's going to be in tough, and it was a gutsy call to take this fight, you know, with less than a week's preparation.
And apparently he's been injured, too.
Three straight losses, but yeah. I think Nier's got something to prove as well, so... I think they're both going to be hungry, but I give Neer the edge in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Nick Diaz apparently had a hand injury. There was some speculation he was going to fight Johnny Alessio, and then that fight never happened. And he was supposed to fight on a Stockton card just a couple weeks ago, and that didn't happen. So you'd have
to. Didn't his hand injury keep him out of the reality show?
Well, that as well. So you'd have to wonder, how much he can. Neer's got a great stand-up, so you got to wonder about the disadvantage there. And I just think that Josh, when you look at some of his fights against great submission artists like Joe Stevenson, as an example, I think Josh can be able to avoid that game plan of Nick, assuming that the hand injury is still prevalent. And I'm going to go with Neer as well. Next one, Hermes Franken versus Jamie Varner. Jamie Varner, undefeated. There's a little bit of hype coming about this guy. But taking on a very experienced veteran in Hermes Franca, who's been on a winning streak lately. Brendan, who are you picking?
I think I've got to go with Hermes on this one.
Yeah, Varner apparently is a really well-known wrestler. He's got, I think he's got some college championships behind him. I haven't seen him fight. But that said, I think I'm going to go with Hermes Franca as well. He's been on a winning streak, and I think he's just a little more accustomed to the big shows. He's fought in several big shows now, so I'm going to go with Franca as well. So far, buddy, we've got nothing to notch as far as picks, because we're...
Just wait, I'm building up to a wild pick.
Oh, okay, cool. And I should reiterate that I'm ahead 2-1, and that's excluding the Tim Sylvia, Andre Arlovsky pick.
Is this going to be like a cumulative thing?
Oh, for sure.
Year or across our lifetimes?
Well, it's cumulative, for sure.
All right.
Especially
all right.
As long as I'm winning, I'll keep reminding people, and then once I lose, this part will be edited. Forrest Griffin versus Stephen Bonner. We had Forrest Griffin on the show last week. Brendan, who are you picking in this fight?
Forrest.
You're going to go with Forrest? I'm going to go with Stephen Bonner.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, I won't have to make my crazy pick now because I've just won it.
Oh yeah, it's a wuss. Yeah, I you know, but I should say why I think that. I just think that, you know, Forrest, to be honest, like, I wouldn't want to bet on Stefan Bonner. It's a tough call. But I just think, based on their first fight, I think Stefan Bonner should have probably won that fight. Should have been awarded the judge's decision. And I know he's looked rough in his last couple of fights, but there's just something, you know, sometimes you got to go with, like, a gut feeling and ignore the facts. And I think that there's just something that's telling me that Stefan Bonner is going to pull this out, and I'm going to go with him. And maybe I'm just saying that as well, just so I have, you know, something to a chance at beating you.
I don't think Stefan's got anything that Forrest hasn't seen. I don't think he's going to be able to submit him on the ground if it goes there. And I think Forrest has much better stand-up. I think Stefan proved that he was susceptible. I think especially against Jardine in the stand-up. And I think he proved he was susceptible in his last fight against Rashad as well to superior wrestling. So. To be quite honest, I like Stefan. I like him as a fighter, but his last two fights have been profoundly unimpressive for me. So I got to go with Forrest.
Fair enough. The main event: Chuck Liddell versus Renato Sobral, and this is, of course, the main event. And you know, it's going to be. I've been saying and going on and on our show lately about the fact that I still maintain that some people are looking past Sobral. But in saying that. Even though there's part of me that wants to call Sobral, because if you look at the history of the UFC, it always seems that the guys that they build up end up losing, you know, somewhat surprisingly in a fight. And, you know, there's part of me that wants to go in that direction and say that that could happen if you look at, you know, Chuck Liddell prior, if you look at Tito Ortiz. I mean, this has happened to these guys before. You know, Andre Arlovsky, they spent a lot of money building him up. But I just think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I think it's going to be a lot closer than their first fight. But I am still going to go with Chuck Liddell.
I think I think definitely Liddell. I don't say definitely in that. I don't think Sobral's a candidate. I don't think he's been overly hyped. And I think, you know, just that one IFC Global Domination show where he beat Jeremy Horn and Shogun and Prangley in one night is just, and that was only, you know, that wasn't 15 years ago. That was, you know, 3 years ago. So he's a phenomenal performer. He's a game fighter. But I think in Liddell, we're actually looking at someone who's hit the peak of his stride. I don't see Sobral taking him down for any length of time. I don't see Liddell in trouble on the ground against him. And I think they're going to stand, and I think Liddell's going to knock him out in the second round.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if I can see Chuck knocking him out. I think Sobral might have learned enough from their last encounter to avoid the knockout, and Chuck's been on that crazy knockout streak lately, and I understand that. But I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be able to take Chuck down. I think he might come close, and maybe he'll spill to the mat a couple times, but I don't think he'll be able to keep Liddell on the mat. And I can kind of see it going somewhat similar to like a Jeremy Horn. I shouldn't say necessarily that, you know, I know he knocked out Jeremy Horn, but I could see it lasting three or four rounds. I'm not, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that I can't see Chuck knocking him out, because that's probably not really what I'm trying to say. It's just more so I don't think it's going to be second round. I think if Chuck stops him, it could be in the fourth or fifth due to a TKO or a cut, but it might even go to a decision.
So what do we got? One different,
yeah. So
that's not much. Okay.
Not too much.
Let's quickly go to Pride, and we'll pick the... the event or the tournament events as a spoiler.
Yeah.
To solve our
right.
Mix things up a little bit.
Okay, so again, I don't know if we'll go through all the fights.
Let's just do the tournament fights.
Okay.
So we got Gono against Lusazi.
Yeah. This one, you know, having a. Only seen these guys fight, you know, a little bit, and I can't really make a prediction on this that I'll feel too solidly behind, but I think Gono, he's kind of a hot and cold fighter. Sometimes he impresses me a lot, and he's pushed some great fighters to the absolute maximum, but I'm going to go with Gono, but I'm not going to, you know, be betting any money on that call.
Yeah, okay, I'm with Gono as well.
Okay.
Kang Sulev.
Gotta go with Dennis Kang. I think Sulev, you know, really impressed me against Bustamante. He really, really impressed me. But I just think that Dennis is on a streak right now. The guy hasn't lost in something like 3 years. You know, the fact, the way he dispatched of Ninja Hua just looked fantastic. Looks like he's worked on a stand-up a lot. I do think he might fall. He might get in trouble if he tries to stand with Sulev for too long. If things aren't going his way, I think he'll be able to get it to the ground and submit him. You know, and I the reason I say that is I just think that Dennis's stand-up game is probably more well-rounded as far as throwing kicks and punches. Bustamante sometimes relies too much on punches, just as boxing. And I think Kang is stronger, and if he needs to get it to the ground, he'll be able to get Sulev to the ground.
I think Kang's got the America Top Team formula dialed in. I think he's the best of all of them. He's the most well-rounded fighter, I think, coming from there, and he may be the most well-rounded fighter in the tournament. So Kang for sure.
Ryo Tonin versus Paulo Fio.
This is tough. Ryo is too hot and cold for me. I like him, but I can't bet on him anymore. I can't even pick him anymore because he's just all over the map. I got to go with Fio. Fio's stable. He's not outstanding, but I don't think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be tricked. I don't think he's going to be outboxed, and he certainly is not going to be outworked on the ground. I got to go with Fio.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Fio. I don't know if I agree with you saying he's not outstanding. I think he's pretty outstanding if you look at his record and the fact that, you know, he looks amazing. He's like a mini Ricardo Arona to me. Not necessarily the most entertaining style, kind of stifling, but he's just a tank. Gets the guy, always manages to get the people to the ground with no problem. And then once that happens, he doesn't seem to have any finish, but he's never really seemed to be in any trouble. And if you look at something like Chonin, I just can't see him winning this fight. So I'm going to go with Fio as well.
And the big one.
Yeah. Obviously, Dan Henderson taking on Kazuo Misaki, who has really impressed me in the past as well. That said, I got to go with Dan Henderson. He is arguably the best middleweight fighter in the world, 185 pound fighter in the world. And even though some of his last performances, he hasn't looked solid, or maybe hasn't looked his best, I think he'll win this, and I think he'll probably win it by knockout or stoppage.
I got to go with Hendo. My prediction is Hendo will lose in this tournament, but not this round.
Okay. And
so, we got nothing.
Yeah. So one pick. There's only one pick that we're split on. So.
All right. So you could pull it to a massive lead, or we could be tied. We could be tied up next week.
Yeah.
The weekend we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. And that's too bad. Maybe from now on, maybe we should just actually forget about putting like our real thoughts into it. We'll just start I'll call you up before we record the show, and we'll rehearse lines and quick one zingers, and we'll just always disagree on the fights and just completely just do it completely for
entertainment. That sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like a lot of work, Kelsey.
That's true, and probably with little reward for that work. So
yeah.
All right, Brendan.
Kelsey, be safe in Calgary.
Thanks. I'll try, and I'll talk to you when I get back.
And have a Kelsey. If the viewers don't know, he's also going on the Brokeback Mountain reality tour. I think. Are you not?
I don't know.
The scenery at Brokeback Mountain was shot in southern Alberta. And weren't you booked into?
I didn't. I wasn't aware that it was filmed in southern Alberta. I don't seem to know as much about that movie as you do. Strangely
enough, I
thought
it was some kind of junket.
Seems like you know a lot about it. So
I'm just confused. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good one, anyway, Kelsey.
Okay, take care.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.